today. We say welcome to Center Point Church and simply thrilled that you are here with us today. My name is Mark Yarbrough, and I am one of the elders here at Center Point Church, and I'm also on the preaching team. And so we have been making a journey through the book of Matthew, and we will certainly continue that study here this morning. I have an uncle that has season tickets to the Cowboy games. Now, on occasion, if I am a good nephew, he will allow me to go to one of the games. Now, it just so happened that my uncle was out of town one weekend when there was a home Cowboy game, and so he gave me a ticket, and he gave my father a ticket, and he gave my brother-in-law, who is named Chip, a ticket. He has three tickets, and so the three of us were going to go to the Cowboy game together. Now, the tickets are, it's not like they're front row seats, okay? They're kind of up in the second rung, and you still need binoculars, and they still look like little ants down there, but you are inside Cowboy Stadium. Well, it just so happens that my brother-in-law, Chip, who's going, he has a brother, and his brother is named Michael. And Michael is a high-ranking official that works for Hawk Electronics. You ever heard of Hawk Electronics? A lot of you have, yeah. Well, Hawk Electronics at Cowboy Stadium, they have a suite.
Yeah. You're putting this together.
Okay, have you ever seen the suites at Cowboy Stadium? Okay, it's where the rich and famous hang out. You know what I'm saying? I mean, they're talking about the suites that are, there's multiple types of suites. There's some that are on the upper level. There are suites that are on the lower level. And I mean, we're talking about it's on the field level. I mean, you're down there with the players. And Hawk Electronics has a suite on the ground level. Well, Michael, Chip's brother, knew that we were going to the game. And he said, hey, on the way to the game as we were driving, he called us and said, when you get inside, make sure and give me a phone call. Now, what do you think I'm thinking? I'm thinking, oh, this could be good. This could be really good. And so we got inside the gate, our normal tickets that would have put us up in the nosebleeds. And we walked inside the gate, and we got on the phone, called Michael. And Michael said, hey, meet me at this gate. He gave us a particular gate to meet him at. And so we navigated through the thousands of people there. And Michael was waiting for us at the gate that he said. Now, what was interesting about it is I realized that at that gate, there was armed guards. And only certain people went through that had particular clearance down into the suite area. So all of the other peasants were walking around. And we, because of our association with Michael, were allowed to pass through the armed guards and to walk down to the suites. And we followed him down onto almost the field, and we walked into the particular suite. And when we went into that suite, folks, that's the way to watch a Cowboy game. I mean, I'm telling you, they will bring you almost anything you want. Food, you think of something, they've got somebody there. It is an all-inclusive paid trip when you are in the suite. And you're meeting all the rich and famous that comes by and all of the camera crews, everything just right there. Now, here's what was funny about it. When we went to that gate to be able to get in, Michael had a badge. And that badge gave him the authority to take us particular places. We believed in Michael, and he proved it to us because he had the right badge. And when we were with Michael at Cowboy Stadium, Michael was in charge. We could trust him because he had the right credentials. And when he had the right credentials, it meant that he had the right authority. Amen? You understand what I'm saying? It's one thing to talk about the authority of someone at Cowboy Stadium. And it's another thing to talk about someone having authority over our lives. And that's exactly what our text today wants to talk about. See, in Matthew chapter 7, Jesus had just concluded a significant teaching that we call the Sermon on the Mount. The totality of that sermon is found in Matthew chapter 5, 6, and 7. And at the conclusion of that message, listen to what Matthew records. Matthew chapter 7, verse 28 and 29. When Jesus had finished saying these things, the crowds were amazed at his teaching, because he taught as one who had authority and not as the teachers of the law. He taught as one who had what? Say it. Authority. Sometimes we are just like the crowds. We are amazed at Jesus. I mean, after all, he is the master teacher. Doesn't he say things that just make you scratch your head at times? He's the master communicator. We can become razzled and dazzled just like the crowd that heard that message. And we are astounded at his claim for authority. But like the crowd there, just like the crowd today, we can struggle with the issue. Does he really have the right to control my life? Does he really make a claim on every part of my being? On all aspects of my existence? Does he have the right to claim and control my job, my marriage, my relationships, my priorities, my finances? Does Jesus have that right? The question that I ask us this morning is, why should we believe in the authority of Jesus? Why should we believe in the authority of Jesus? Here's the answer that we're going to see. We should believe in the authority of Jesus because his credentials are from God and he proves it. His credentials are from God and he proves it. I'm reading from Matthew chapter 8. Matthew chapter 8, verses 1 through 17. When he came down from the mountainside, large crowds followed him. A man with leprosy came and knelt before him and said, "Lord, if you are willing, you can make me clean." Jesus reached out his hand and he touched the man. "I am willing," he said. "Be clean." Immediately, he was cured from his leprosy. And then Jesus said to him, "See that you don't tell anyone, but go and show yourself to the priest and offer the gift Moses commanded as a testimony to them." And when Jesus had entered Capernaum, a centurion came to him asking for help. "Lord," he said, "my servant lies at home, paralyzed and in terrible suffering." Jesus said to him, "I will go and heal him." The centurion replied, Lord, I do not deserve to have you come under my roof, but just say the word, and my servant will be healed. For I myself am a man under authority, with soldiers under me. I tell this one, go, and he goes, and that one, come, and he comes. I say to my servant, do this, and he does it. When Jesus heard this, he was astonished and said to those that were following him, I tell you the truth, I have not found anyone in Israel with such great faith. I say to you that many will come from the east and the west and will take their places at the feast with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob in the kingdom of heaven. But the subjects of the kingdom will be thrown outside into the darkness, where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Then Jesus said to the centurion, go, it will be done just as you believed it would. And his servant was healed at that very hour. And when Jesus came into Peter's house, he saw that Peter's mother-in-law was lying in bed with a fever. He touched her hand, and the fever left her, and she got up and began to wait on him. And when evening came, many who were demon-possessed were brought to him, and he drove out the spirits with a word. And he healed all the sick. And this was to fulfill what was spoken through the prophet Isaiah. He took up our infirmities, and he carried our diseases. Why should we believe in the authority of Jesus? It is because of his credentials. They are from God, and he proves it. Matthew has built a case at this point in chapter 8 of his gospel. And these are three episodes. Did you see them all? They were three distinct episodes, but they are all displaying the credibility of Jesus Christ. He is an individual who has authority because that authority comes from God. He has the right credentials, and those credentials give him God-ordained authority, and he proves it. Three episodes, right? Do you see them? Three distinct episodes. There is episode number one of the individual who has leprosy. Episode number two, the individual that we reference as the centurion. Episode number three, we have the healing of Peter's mother-in-law. And then this account of multiple individuals. All of this occurred, according to the text, in one day of the life of Jesus. Now, do you ever record your days and call them a productive day? That's a productive day. Three episodes where Jesus is proving his credentials coming from God give him great authority. All authority. Just briefly, I want to look at these three particular episodes as we are seeing Matthew's argument, where he is wanting us to see that Jesus, because of his God-ordained credentials, has authority and he proves it. Look at these episodes, just one at a time. Episode number one, you see in your text in Matthew chapter 8, verses 1 through 4. This is the account of the leper that we just read. Look at it again. When Jesus came down from the mountainside, and what mountainside is that? Remember, what had he just finished? He'd just finished delivering what you and I reference as the Sermon on the Mount, 5, 6, and 7. On the heels of that great message, Jesus comes down from the mountainside. Large crowds followed him, the text says. Verse 2, a man with leprosy. Now, when you think of leprosy, what is it that you think of? Go ahead and say it. You think of many of us think of a skin disease, don't we? Leprosy was a horrible disease. It still is today. It was even more so in the ancient Near East in the day in which Jesus lived. There was really no known cure for leprosy, and it was much more than a skin disease. It is actually a horrific nerve disorder that will lead to all sorts of skin problems without questions, but it will lead itself to mangled parts of the body. They lose all sense of sensitivity. They can't feel things, and that's why when you have all of these horrible pictures of individuals that have leprosy even today in many countries where they are wrapped in bandage trying to hide that disfigurement and trying to keep it so that where they won't run into something because of the incredible pain that can come across the entire body. In the day in which Jesus lived, when an individual had leprosy, they were viewed as a social outcast. There were actually rules and regulations on many times when these individuals of where they could go and where they could not go. There were distances at times recorded where they had to stay a certain distance from people. And if you are an individual that was clean, you never associated or came near someone that had leprosy. Jesus just gets done with this massive sermon, and the crowds are astonished, wondering, what kind of authority does this man have? And a leper, an individual who is defiled, an individual who is outcast, an individual who is a social reject, who is in great pain, shows up on the scene in front of Jesus, and look at what the text says. He came and he knelt before Jesus, and he said, Lord, if you are willing, you can make me clean. You notice what Jesus does? He says, stay away. We'll talk about it. Talk to my people. Let my people talk to your people, and we'll figure out when we can meet and deal with this issue. Is that what Jesus does? Of course not. What does the text say? I want you to look at the wording specifically, because Matthew is recording the details of this account. Up to this point in the book of Matthew, by the way, you know what has occurred? We get these generic stories about Jesus and what he is doing and even healing. In this account and these three accounts, Matthew opens the door and gives us all of the details. He wants us to see things about the authority of Jesus. He is credentialed and he is qualified and he proves it. Look at what Jesus does in this account. Jesus reached out his hand and he touched him. Okay, let me give you a parenthetical in the text, okay? If you were there and you're watching all of this, you see this leper come up. You know he is a master teacher. And all the people are in amazement at who he is. And everyone's wondering, what's Jesus going to do? And Jesus reaches out to the defiled leper and he touches him. Can you hear the gasp of the crowd? Can you? Oh, he touched him. He has now become defiled. Jesus says, look what the text says, I am willing, be clean. Immediately, Matthew says, it's not an issue of saying, hey, give it about 6 months after you've taken the medication. You're going to be okay down the road. What does the text say? What is the word? Talk to me. Immediately, Jesus reached out his hand and it happened right then and there. There was no lag time. There was no delay. Jesus touched him and he was healed. What kind of power is this? Over the holidays, I was sick as a dog. I had the flu. Anybody had that thing? Yes, about half of our churches had the flu. Oh, it was ugly. 10 days, just horrible. I called the doctor. He gave me the medicine and he said, hope it helps. I mean, with this flu that's going around right now, I mean, it's just ugly. Maybe it'll work. Maybe it won't. You're just going to have to endure it. The doctor was giving it his best shot. I had antibiotics. I had a breathing machine. I had all sorts of decongestants. I had cough medicines and serums and pills and things like this. And it was ugly. Jesus reached out his hand, and immediately he was healed. Then Jesus said, "See to it that you don't tell anyone, but go show yourself to the priest and offer the gift Moses commanded as a testimony to them." Episode number one. Why should we believe in the authority of Jesus? Because of his credentials. He is from God. He is qualified, and he proves it. Episode number two. Look closely. Remember this one? When Jesus entered Capernaum, verse 5 says, a centurion came to him asking for help. "Lord," he said, "my servant lies at home paralyzed and in terrible suffering." Jesus said to him, "I will go and heal him." And notice the interchange between the centurion and Jesus. And by the way, a centurion was an individual who was charged over 100 soldiers. He was a Roman individual. He was not a Jew, but he was a Gentile. There is this exchange between the Roman Gentile centurion and Jesus. The individual has a sick servant at home, and he comes to Jesus seeking help. And Jesus' response to the centurion is that Jesus, what does the text say? Look at verse 7. He will go and heal him. You see it? He'll go. What does the centurion say? The centurion says, "Lord, I do not deserve to have you under my roof, but just say the word, and my servant will be healed. For I myself am a man under authority with soldiers." And he goes to expound this. He says, if I say it to my soldiers, they do it. I say go, they go. When I say come, they come. And he looks at Jesus and says, in great faith, all you have to do is say the word. Jesus, according to the text, is astonished. It's one of only two occasions where Jesus actually is astonished at the faith of an individual. He's astonished, and look what Jesus says. "I tell you the truth, I've not found anyone in Israel with such great faith." And he goes to expound this issue of saying, that's the kind of faith that I'm looking for. You're not into the kingdom simply because of your genealogical or ethnic association. You're part of the kingdom based upon faith. And based upon that faith, I want you to see exactly how Jesus responds in verse 13. Then Jesus said to the centurion, "Go, it will be done just as you have believed it would." And what does Matthew want us to see again? And his servant was healed when? Next month. The text says, at the minute that Jesus said it, he was healed. Episode number two. Why should we believe in the authority of Jesus? Because of his credentials. They are from God because he is from God and he proves it. Who is this one that can heal like this? Episode number three. Look at it. When Jesus came into Peter's house, he saw Peter's mother-in-law lying in bed with a fever. Literally, it is a high fever. Now, let me open this one up just a little bit. We think of a fever today, and we think of a fever as a symptom of something, don't we? Shake your head yes, because that's normally what we think of. Back in the day in which Jesus lived, a fever was presumed to be a disease. As a matter of fact, this is an incredibly high fever, according to Matthew's word that is used here. Can you imagine Peter walking in? I have no idea what kind of relationship Peter had with his mother-in-law, okay? He walks in, Jesus is with him, and Peter's mother-in-law is very ill with a high fever. What does the text want us to see again on the third occasion of episode 1, 2, and 3? He sees her lying in bed with a fever, and what does Jesus do? Instead of staying away, what does the text say? He, what? Talk to me. He touched her hand. And what happened to the fever? Any of you moms and dads ever wish you could do that with your kids? Oh. With people you love? Oh. But you know what, friends? We don't have that kind of authority. I hate sickness. Anybody in here? I hate disease. I don't have authority over that. No normal human does. But Jesus reaches out his hand, the text says, and he touched her, and the fever, what? Left. And what happens? Now, you ever had a fever and then your fever finally breaks? How do you respond, by the way? You get up, but you're what? You can barely get around. Man, when my fever broke and I could finally move across the room, I didn't think I was going to make it. It wipes you out, doesn't it? What does she do after her fever is broken? She does what? What does the text say? She got up and started serving him. Isn't that amazing? It wasn't just an issue of the fever was broken, but her physical state was restored. What was gone was now infused. And she gets up and serves. Matthew's on a roll here, and look at what he begins to show us. Verse 16, and when evening came, as if we've not seen enough proof. When evening came, many who were demon-possessed were brought to him, and he drove out the spirits, and with a what? A word healed all the sick. This was to fulfill what was spoken through the prophet Isaiah. He took up our infirmities, and he carried our diseases. Why should we believe in the authority of Jesus? Episode 1, episode 2, episode 3 are stacked up by Matthew. He records the details for us because as we see episode 1, episode 2, episode 3, we realize that Jesus is credentialed from God and he proves it. That's why we should believe him. My friends, this is an amazing thing that we cannot run from. Jesus is God in flesh. John chapter 1, verse 1. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God. He was with God from the beginning because the Word was God. We find out elsewhere in Scripture, Colossians chapter 1, verse 16, for by him, who? Jesus, all things were created in heaven and on earth. In our text, we see that Jesus is the healer of all diseases. It's a snapshot of the power of the kingdom to come. We find out that the one who is qualified to heal physically is also the individual who is only qualified to heal spiritually. While we were yet sinners, what did Jesus do for us? He died for us. My friends, as we move out of these three units, Matthew has set us up because he has showed us and displayed that Jesus has authority, all authority. And now here's the question for you and me. How will we respond to that authority? All of that has been a setup for this issue. How will we respond to that authority? Look in the text. Chapter 8, verse 18 and following. When Jesus saw the crowd around him, he gave orders to cross to the other side of the lake. And then a teacher of the law came to him and said, "Teacher, I will follow you wherever you go." Jesus replied, "Foxes have holes and birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man has no place to lay his head." Another disciple said to him, "Lord, let me first go and bury my father." But Jesus told him, "Follow me. And let the dead bury their own dead." My friends, the question that we have in front of us of why should we and how should we respond to his authority? It's in this way. Complete, total submission. He has set us up with these three episodes to display that Jesus has ultimate authority. And now he lays the final question on the table. How will you respond? Will you respond with ultimate, total submission? You see, this little unit that we have here is kind of intriguing. Many of your subtitles that we have in the English text say it's the cost of following Jesus, right? Jesus goes up and his disciples are with him. And after they have seen all of this, this is almost posed to them, and it's posed to you and me as readers of the text. Now that we've seen this, and if it is true and we believe that it is, what are we going to do about it? How will you respond? And all of these episodes are very unique. Look at them in the text. A teacher of the law came to him and said, "Teacher, I will follow you wherever you go." And Jesus says, "Okay, great. I'm happy that you say you're going to follow me. But I want you to realize this," verse 20, "foxes have holes and birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man has no place to lay his head." Let me give you a paraphrase rendition of that. Jesus is saying, if you say you're going to follow me, look out. It's not going to be easy. It's not going to be easy. By the way, in Scripture, do you realize that? Jesus never says it will be easy, but he always says it will be worth it. He reminds his followers right there, it's not going to be easy. But if you say you're going to follow me, it's going to take total, complete, ultimate, all submission. Look at what else he says in the text. Verse 21, another disciple came to him. "Lord, first let me go and bury my father." And if you've ever read this text before, it almost seems gruff of Jesus in his response, doesn't it? Shake your head yes, because that's the way we look at it and go, wow. But Jesus is making a point. Look at what verse 22 says. Jesus told him, "Follow me and let the dead bury their own dead." See, the implication is that the individual, the father, was still alive. And it was going to be some time before he died. And Jesus is making a point. Whether he was peering into the heart of the individual, we don't know. But ultimately what Jesus is saying, if you are going to follow me, you need to be totally dedicated. And when another commitment always interferes with the ultimate commitment of following Jesus, guess which one must always win out? What? Following Jesus. My friends, how are we supposed to respond to this kind of authority? We are called to be people right there in the text struggling. We're watching these individuals and we say, yeah, how are we supposed to respond? And guess what? We're supposed to respond like all of the examples that he showed us when he was displaying his authority. You know what he wants? He wants people like the leper that come to him, that pursue him, because Jesus is the only one that can help. We are supposed to have the faith of the centurion. We are supposed to be that individual that says, "Lord, if you say it, I will do it." There's no negotiation. If you have put this forth as your command, Lord, I will obey. We are supposed to be that individual like Peter's mother-in-law, that if we are folks that have been saved by grace through faith, that we will serve him totally and completely. My friends, this is one of the texts that we cannot run from. Matthew is showing us that Jesus has the right to demand our life. He gives us miraculous episodes so that we land right here in this text. He is qualified and credentialed, and he proves it, and now we must respond accordingly. My friends, I'll leave it like this. For many of us that have put our faith and trust in Jesus Christ and have been believers for a long time, there's the possibility that we continue to play games with the authority of Jesus. There are parts of our lives that we like to compartmentalize, that we like to hold on to. Oh, we'll let Jesus take over most things, but in this area of my life, I'm in control. I don't know what that issue is in your life. I know that the Lord has worked with me in my life this week in preparation for this message today. I don't know if it's your marriage. I don't know if it's your finances. I don't know exactly what it is, but I want to encourage you, if you are a believer in Jesus Christ, to follow his authority in that area. Back at Cowboy Stadium, I had a ticket that got me in, but it was the authority of the individual that took me other places. If you are a believer, you've got your ticket. Your ticket came with the blood of Jesus Christ. And now he says, follow me totally and completely in that area that you're thinking about right now. My friends, if you are here this morning and you are not a believer in Jesus Christ, and you have watched and looked in the Word, and you have seen that he is the only one that has the right to make a claim on your life, may I ask you this morning to submit your life totally and completely to him. He is the only one who has the right to demand your allegiance. Will you trust him? Will you follow him? Will you submit to him? If that is you, I pray you will deal with the Lord today. Let's pray. Lord, we are astounded at who you are and your power. You have ultimate authority. And that means you have authority over our lives. May we submit to you in total, complete trust. Who you are and what you have done and what you demand from us. Lord, if there are those in the room here this morning that have not trusted you completely, that they have not subjected their lives to your power, help them to respond in faith this morning, to be secure in that salvation that you long to grant based upon your authority. Help us all to deal with you appropriately in what is needed. We pray these things in Jesus' name.